Chapter 15. Rage and Decay. First Captain. Swordarm. The Vengeful Spirit, Lunar Orbit, 8th of Tertius.
Dawn defies us! The walls should be broken! The streets red with blood! Attack! Attack! We must attack!
Angron's growls rang across Lupercal's court. Drool ran from his snarl, vanishing into nothing as it fell outside the imaging field. "Walls cannot be shouted down," Perturabo said, his voice the ringing of a leaden bell. "You have lost your patience with your sanity."
"He's not insane," said Fulgrim sweetly. "Are you, dear brother?" "Do not allow this snake to address me," roared Angron.
"Cease your yapping, hound," said Perturabo. "This is a gathering of intellect, not animals."
"Speak with me in person, and we shall see who is silenced first," roared Angron.
"I bested you before and will do so again," said Perturabo levelly. Angron let out a howl of outrage that shook the air. Abaddon glanced at his genefather's empty throne. Horus was late to the meeting.
"For the War Master's sake, Ezekiel," hissed Kyber. "Do something!"
"Someone has to,"
said Axamand, as the Primarchs goaded each other. He made to step forward. Abaddon grabbed his brother by the arm. He shook his head, his face a warning. Axamand shrugged and stepped back.
"I'll do it."
"Suit yourself," Axamand said.
Abaddon stepped forward, but did not speak. He stood in the midst of the Primarchs and disdainfully watched their bickering.
"Oh, Angron, my dear brother, your howling grows tiresome," said Fulgrim. "Where is Horus?"
he appealed to the room.
"If anyone can get Angron to quieten, it is he."
Angron sneered.
"Nothing is more important. Do be quiet, Angron,"
said Fulgrim.
"There's a good fellow."
For a moment, Angron stared wide-eyed with affront. Then his face swelled with apoplexy, and he screamed in anger.
"I will not be quiet! I am the Chosen of Khorne! You will heed me! You will—"
"I've heard enough. Cut Lord Angron's audio feed," Abaddon said. Adepts of the True Mechanicum working in the background complied. The Red Angel was left a silent, raging ghost.
"Look at how weak you have become," Abaddon said in disgust.
"Lord Perturabo, you sit at the edge of the system, pronouncing your genius and implying no one heeds you. This behavior is not worthy of you."
"Do not provoke me, First Captain.
Be quiet a minute, or you will find yourself further goaded," Abaddon snarled. "You, Fulgrim, and you, Angron, have whored yourselves out to the gods in the warp."
Angron raged in silence. Fulgrim tittered girlishly. Abaddon glared at him. Fulgrim pulled a lewd face.
"Where is your majesty? Where is your purpose? We stand at the threshold of victory, and you threaten everything with your bickering," said Abaddon. "You posture, you rage, you question your War Master's orders. It is he who has brought you here. It is he who has ensured your power grows. It is he who made all of this possible." "I've seen the brats of decadent nobles behave with more decorum and sensibility."
Fulgrim clapped all four of his hands slowly.
"So brave, so noble," he mocked. "So bold. The son grows while the father fades. How proud of you he must be."
Fulgrim leaned closer to the lens, capturing his image.
"But careful now, little Ezekiel,"
he purred dangerously.
"You are mighty, but you play in the court of the gods. You cannot murder us as you did your birth father. You do not have the stakes to wager in this game. Back away, small man, and we might let you live."
"Do you think Horus would allow you to kill me?"
Abaddon said, pacing around the circle of hololithic phantoms. "He could obliterate you all, any one of you, utterly.
You are slaves to your passions where you are not slaves to your gods. Horus is above you, and he is above the entities you worship."
"Our brother would not put the life of his son before that of his brothers," said Perturabo.
"You go too far."
"Tell that to Lord Lorgar," said Abaddon. Banished. Lucky that Horus did not tear him limb from limb. Be careful that you do not further test my father's patience. It is not inexhaustible.
Well said,
Aximand muttered under his breath. Abaddon. Never speak to me in that way again, warned Perturabo. I am not as indulgent as my brother.
And nor am I,
said Fulgrim. The door to the court opened, and Horus strode in, more alive and vibrant than he had seemed the last time, Abaddon thought. Captain Abaddon is correct, said Horus. You disgrace yourselves. The court trembled at his words. Listen to my chosen son as you would to me. He walked to the center of the room and rested one of his great talons on Abaddon's shoulder. He is my sword arm.
What kept you, brother?
Asked Fulgrim.
Why do you call us here and keep us waiting?
I commune with the powers who guide my hand, and strive to ensure our victory in their realm, as in this. They say this, that Abaddon is right. You gather power to yourselves and become pathetic for its excesses. Cease your arguments or face the punishment of your patrons. Fulgrim's never-still form flickered. For an instant his perfect monstrous face was transformed into a mask of terror. Then the image blinked, and his mocking smile returned. Horus paced up to his throne, the Mournival making way for him. His huge bulk shook the court, and he sat. Angron, he said to his brother's image. Can you hold your peace for a few moments? Angron snarled silently, but nodded. Return his voice to him, Horus commanded. You may speak, favored of Khorne.
Brother,
said Angron, remaining calm only by dint of the most immense effort.
Why do we not attack?
Events proceed as planned, said Horus. I am in control of our strategy. Do you not trust me? Horus's unnatural charisma reached across the void, dominating his brother. Angron looked aside in furious shame.
Yes, my war master.
Horus swept his gaze around his siblings' images. The time has come to enact the second phase of the invasion. Ambassadress Sotanul, attend us. A hololith, unlike the others, manifested beneath the apex of the dome. Technology blended with warp magic rendered Sotanul in perfect verisimilitude that exceeded even the projections of Magnus. Around her was a constellation of 8 smaller images, subsidiary to hers, though each also perfect, and presenting the full gamut of Mechanicum insanity. Every one of these 9 tech adepts had begun life as human beings. Now few of them remotely resembled their original form. They had eyes of glass, tentacles, grossly enhanced bodies, multiple arms with tools for hands, exposed innards of glowing glass tubes, all swathed in the black of the new Mechanicum. Thin lines of silver light linked them into an emblem akin to a compass rose, the octet of chaos.
We are the 9,
they intoned. Their mixed voices of warbles, twittering data bursts, and synthesized humanity, a jarring electronic chorus.
Null, Protoss, Duos, Trey, Tessera, Pent, Ex, Epta, and Oct.
No fabricator general, brother? Perturabo asked, a sly tone entering his doleful voice.
Kelbor Hal is a loyal and trusted ally, said Horus. But Sotanul served me well while the Lord of the Mechanicum was penned on Mars. Her acolytes have delivered many marvels to me. Sotanul heralded my armies and successfully enjoined several forge worlds to side with us against the Slave Master of Terror. Her warp tech eases our communications and reduced our reliance on the cursed Erebus's warp flasks. Ardim Protoss found a way to bind the souls of demons to our titans. Axmar Trey uncovered the Archaeotech hoard of Periminus. Each one of them has exceeded my demands. Each one of them is a Magos of rare talent.
Kelbor Hal shall oversee the ground operations of the forces of Mars, as is his right. But it is to Sota Nul we turn now to ensure the next phase of the invasion is successful. The Nine Disciples will ensure our victory is swifter and sweeter than it could otherwise be. The Aegis is sufficiently weakened to permit a larger assault to begin, Horus continued, addressing the whole room. Our attack craft destroy more of their defensive batteries with each sortie. The numbers of their own defense squadrons dwindle with the hour. The efficacy of the palace outworks is broken. All over Terra, our loyal armies conquer and burn. Now we must take the fight to the walls and open the way for our allies from the Empyrean. Then, Angron, Horus extended a claw at his brother, then you may set foot on the soil of Terra, as may you, Fulgrim. Sota Nul's acolytes will land their arcs upon the surface as 8 points of the octid. We shall begin the work of besieging the palace in earnest. Siege camps shall be established. The arcs will be fortresses to oppose the walls. Under their protection, the siege masters of the Mechanicum will establish defenses and deploy their engines to break the fortifications. Perturabo growled with outrage.
That is my purpose. You said that I would be given the honor of breaking Dawn's fortress.
You do not listen to me, brother. You dismiss my ideas. You do not let me attack the Son of Sol itself to bring this to a speedy conclusion, or to break Terra into rubble. You wave away my plans of planetary exterminatus. You keep me at arm's length, and now this insult? Dawn's humbling is mine to accomplish! His famed temper boiled quickly once provoked, and before he had finished he was shouting. I did, said the War Master evenly. I meant what I said. You will have your turn, Lord of Iron. The Mechanicum will prepare the ground for your legion, so that your genius may be set to work with minimal distraction. Your task on the system fringe is done. Return now. Begin your plans for the contravallation of the palace. Perturabo calmed, reassuming his dour manner like iron plunged into a quenching barrel.
I have my plans prepared already, said Perturabo pettishly. Dawn cannot stand before me.
When will the legions land?
Said Angron. My orders remain as they were. No space marine is to set foot on Terra yet, said Horus.
A legionary attack will draw out the defenders, wheedled Fulgrim. Let my children out to play, most lordly brother. We can destroy at will and weaken the palace defenses. I am bored.
I have a role for you, one you will enjoy. Like all the greatest pleasures, it must be deferred a while. Until then, the bombardment continues, said Horus. If we feed our legionaries into the fire piecemeal, we will all burn. The attacks on the walls must be complete, total and overwhelming.
What of my never-born legions? Said Angron. What of this witch's hex that keeps me from battle?
Zardu Laek stepped forwards.
Not him! Hold your tongue, priest! Where is Lord Magnus?
Angron bellowed. Yes, Magnus. We would take his word on the subject, not that of this groveler, said Perturabo dismissively. Let Laek speak, Horus commanded. The Primarchs fell to grudging quiet.
The Emperor shields Terra, said Laek. But he cannot do so forever. Blood flows in such torrents upon the throne world that it calls across the barrier between the warp and the material realm. Souls flee their bodies in crowds, everyone wearing at the fabric of space and time.
He rubbed his fingers together.
Each death sees the servants of the Pantheon push harder on the veil. When the weight of slaughter is great enough, then they will be called through in their multitudes. By my God-granted vision, I see vast legions of the Neverborn ready to take to the field. The door is creaking. The latch rattles. We lack but a key.
Perturabo was the first to grasp the strategy and nodded in understanding. If Father's dogs attack the siege camps, they will spill more blood and aid the coming of your allies. If they do not, then the Mechanicum may raise engines by the dozen to break the walls. Dorne will see this, but he will have no choice. A rare smile broke across Perturabo's features. He will have to fight it either way, and give you victory, whatever his choice is. A bridgehead of blood. To his brother's amazement, he began to laugh.
Then I shall land first, said Angron enthusiastically. I shall come at them and cleave their bodies.
You will not, said another. A familiar voice, a quiet, rasping, sullen growl, but changed, thickened with phlegm.
I claim the task. My legion will be first to attack the walls, as I pledged to the War Master months ago.
Mortarion, Primarch of the Death Guard, entered through the grand doors of Lupercal's court. This was not Mortarion as his brothers remembered him. He was changed, like Angron, Fulgrim, and Magnus, lifted by the Pantheon and given new form. Always among the tallest of the Primarchs, he had grown further, his famine-spare frame pushed to great height. Tattered moth's wings furled on his back. The scythe, Silence, had grown with its master, become as long as a Vox transmission pole. Mortarion appeared sickly, his face scarred by disease and his eyes milky with cataracts. Fluid wept from craters in his dirty armour, while all around him swirled a dense, stinking fog. Where he passed the door guard, Abaddon's Justerin fell heavily. Black fluid leaked from perished seals, and bloody phlegm coughed from their breathing grills. The sounds of armour closing itself against the environment filled the room, but it did no good. The Terminators suffered in the grip of sickness. Mortarion continued forwards, felling Horus's elite by his very presence.
Back away from him, Abaddon commanded. Seal the room!
Atmospheric cyclers ceased turning. Machines bleeped out tones of compliance. Still the Lord of Death marched forwards. Kyber began to cough behind his mask. Axemand took several steps back, his face greening as he fumbled on his helm. Laak dropped to his knees, singing praise in the ear-burning tongue of his worship, but he too struggled to breathe Mortarion's miasma. Of them all, only Horus, Tormageddon, and Abaddon were left unaffected. A stench wreathed the Lord of Death that defied any kind of description. Human senses lacked the capacity to experience it in fullness. So foul, so pungent with rot and sickly life was it, that it triggered Abaddon's omophagia, and he tasted a bouquet of miseries sublime in their variety. It shocked him to his soul that he could breathe. He looked at the others choking on Mortarion's fetor, and yet when the Primarch approached Abaddon, he inhaled easily, though the stench appalled him. Mortarion stopped a few feet from his brother's throne. Pearlescent eyes stared down into brown, both afire with inner power that was not of the material realm. His breathing was laboured, rattling in his lungs so that each exhalation sounded like his last. Puffs of reeking corpse gas jetted from Mortarion's mask. Axemand and Kyber dragged themselves back behind the throne, crawling as far as they could from the corrupted Primarch. Retching grated from Kyber's voxmeter as he vomited into his helmet. Axemand pulled himself into a corner, managed to roll onto his back, and lay there stupefied. The Lord of Death slammed the ferrule of Silence upon the floor hard.
My War Master, I heed your call.
With those words he knelt. The height his transformation had bestowed meant that he was as tall as the seated War Master, even when he bowed. Abaddon suppressed a sneer. Such weakness. The Lord of Death had traded his position as a Lord of Men to become a slave of the gods. Angron paced in and out of the field of view of his hollow emitter. Fulgrim giggled. Perturabo glared.
My brother, we welcome you, said Horus. Rise.
Bones popped as the Lord of Death stood again.
I come to fulfill my promise and lead the assault upon the palace.
His voice, once a pure bass, was a hoarse whisper. You are greatly gifted by our patrons, Horus said, taking in his brother's transformation. he will not be able to set foot upon Terra.
I have patience. My sons will go before me to prepare the way. They are ready, said Mortarion. We bring new weapons for an old war. My warriors have transcended the limitations of mortality. Nothing can harm them, while I have 7 plagues for you to unleash upon Terra. Let the unseen soldiers of Bacillus and Virus reap the foe and add their deaths to the total. And when the tally pleases Father Nurgle, then I shall descend to the palace and take my vengeance upon the false emperor.
Do you see? Said Horus. You all must wait, but not for long. He raised his voice to address them all, but stared Angron in the eye. The second phase of the invasion begins tonight. Once the Mechanicum begin the construction of their siege engines, then Mortarion's legion shall be given the honor of being first upon Terra.
No!
Shouted Angron.
No! It should be me!
It is my will, said Horus, that the Death Guard attack first.